Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Two. Insperity. Inspiring business performance.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thanks very much for hanging out with me. Thanks for being part of my day. Always a pleasure. Continue to be with you. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad our good buddy David Dossie's here, too. David is an intellectual property attorney. You might have called him 20, 30, 40 years ago. You might have called him a patent attorney. Today, he's an IP attorney and also a registered engineer, which is helpful when you're an IP attorney. And he is not only an IP attorney, he's my IP attorney and does a great job with us, for us. And he joins us on a regular basis to help you. He's here right now to do that very thing. David, welcome back.
Jim, thanks for having me.
It's good to have you back. So do you think the reason why small business owners don't have a defined intellectual property strategy is intimidation? Is it fear? Is it ignorance? What do you think?
Well, I think small business owners often get paralyzed when it's not in their range of expertise right off the bat, and then they see the complexity and the costs associated with intellectual property can often be overwhelming, and then therefore it's an easy thing to procrastinate on. And that combination of fear and cost ends up just increasing the ultimate risk that they are exposing their companies to, mm-hmm. and they're missing opportunities, and it usually ends up costing them more money in the long run. So I tell people, small business owners that seem stuck or paralyzed by fear, you know, start by at least doing something. Take some baby steps, and mm-hmm. it's psychological, but once you're successfully moving forward on something related to intellectual property, everything else after that seems a little bit easier.
Do you ever talk about it like insurance? Because what you're doing, you know, one of the things I talk about it on the show, and I talked about earlier in the earlier segment, is about protecting your intellectual property and defending it and valuing it, defending it and protecting it. And so, you know, you could have an intellectual property strategy and go almost a career without having any kind of an upset or where you actually have to go to court or anything like that. But you never know. Just like you never know when you're going to have a fire. What do you think? Is that a good analogy or is that a not?
It is. And I think that you also never know when your intellectual property has kept your competitor at bay. You know, no one's going to, you know, after they retire or are at another industry, someone may come up to you and say, oh, boy, that intellectual property of yours, we really had to go through hoops to compete with you and such. But you never know the impact that your intellectual property is having mm-hmm. on other people.
Robert Ringer in his book, Robert Ringer wrote a book about that. He called it Winning Through Intimidation.
Sure. So I often ask small business owners, I say, think about if your best employee were to quit tomorrow and go into competition with you, what is the last thing in the world you would want them to steal on their way out the door?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, usually it's not your delivery van or anything like that. It's something related to intellectual property, and it forces you to realize that you do need a plan. And it doesn't have to be a formal plan. And like I say, just getting something going starts that snowball effect. And that's why I tell people don't start with an extremely complex patent application that you're, you know, investing a lot of money and time in unless you're under a deadline related to disclosing an invention. Start with something simple, whether it's a trademark search or registering a trademark related to your products or services. Or the one I have seen that is the most effective is start monitoring what your competitors are doing in terms of intellectual property.
Mm-hmm.
Because once you see that your largest competitor or even just your local competitor is taking steps regarding intellectual property, then you it kind of forces you to realize you're getting left behind if you're not doing something.
Well, another thing is things could be happening in your community that where a certain kind of a phrase or a name or a term could be obvious that it could be valuable, but you're not ready to use it yet. You could go ahead and tie that up, I mean, to some degree, can't you? You could go ahead and let me ask you this question. Do you ever, so let's say I called you up and I said, David, I listen to your show on that crazy guy, Blessing Games show. I listen to you talk to him. And would you come out to my business and just look around and tell me, you said take baby steps. Would you tell me what my first baby step, could you look around and what would you do? Ask me questions and you tell me about, you know, what a baby step would look like. Does an intellectual property attorney ever do that?
Sure. In fact, some of the best client development opportunities for us are when we go and do in-house training at a company. And whether that is getting your employees to realize the risks of boilerplate contracts and that only certain people in the company should be signing those, mm-hmm. or whether it's training about your competitor's IP and those type of events. But, yeah, the walk around, and that's, you know, we've talked about it many times before.
The time
to look for an IP attorney is not when you're up against a deadline.
Right. Or under a threat.
Right.
Yeah. So you could go, then somebody, an IP attorney could show up and say, okay, they do it like an audit or something, and maybe that would take, you know, you'd charge them for the 3 hours or whatever you were there, and then say, okay, I think your first area of exposure is more likely to be this. Why don't we start on that? It'll take me about a month to get it done, and it'll cost you X amount of dollars. Does that work?
Absolutely. It's a matter of just making that first step. You know, the first step is always the hardest, and
right. Get
someone in there to lay out a plan. And you know, it's no obligation. Obviously, you're not committing to anything by just having someone come in and make their suggestions. And heck, have two or three people come in and see who you who you gel with.
Well, as we all know, our world is increasingly digital, and digital things are increasingly intellectual property, folks. We're leveraging less and less physical things and more intellectual things, and so it's another reason why you need to know an intellectual property attorney. Invention-protection.com, that's David's website. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blasting, and he and I will be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.